Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachas Daf Ayin Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to the very bottom of Daf Ayin Beis Amud Beis, the point from which today's shiur will begin, it's incumbent upon us to offer a brief introduction so that we can get back into the flow of the discussion that we left off with last time. Last time, we were dealing with finding a source for a barley meal offering, a minchas seorim, according to Rabbi Shimon. A minchas seorim, we might point out, includes the omer and the minchas knos, brought by the sota woman, the married woman suspected of immorality. How do we know, according to Rabbi Shimon, that the shirayim of those menachos of minchas seorim are eaten by the kohanim? In our discussion, we saw Chizkiah cite a pasuk. Chizkiah is four lines from the bottom of Ayin Beis Amud Beis. We have a diamond around his name, and also a little one to the left-hand side of the Gemara text. This is explained by our Nosei Mivneh heading as sources for this information, that a Minchas Seorim Shirayim is, according to Rabbi Shimon, is eaten by the Kohanim. We have a number one over here, because on Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, a little more than halfway down, we will see Ravina bringing a second source for this information. After having brought the pasuk that Chizkiah suggested, v'chol mincha blula b'shemen v'chareiv v'chol b'nei aron tiyeh, the Gemara asks, and this is the point at which today's shiur picks up, second line from the bottom, at the end of the line, the Gemara starts with a question, with a long question: is it so that this pasuk of v'chol mincha blula b'shemen is used for this point, namely the shirayim of minchas seorim are eaten by the kohanim? We have this as part of another limud. We will begin a long Tanaic source that runs halfway down Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. This Tanaic source is a source that tells us, that teaches us, that sacrifices, that korbanos, when they are divided in the Beis HaMikdash, the kohanim that are present all receive an equal share of whatever korban is being divided out, and that a kohen is not allowed to exchange his portion with another kohen in anticipation of receiving an extra portion of some other korban later on. As a result of that, we're going to have to come back to our question of concerning the shirayim of the minchas seorim. How do we know that that goes to the kohanim? So, being that this is a long Tanaic source, it will be incumbent upon us to remember that which we are really looking for. So, in the meantime, let us start the Gemara. At the bottom of Ayin Beis Amud Beis, the Gemara asks, and we have a long question marking. You can see it's noted to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical dashed line continuing down Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, halfway down. This entails the long Tanaic source. So the Gemara asks, V'hai l'hochi hu da'asa, the pasuk of v'chol mincha blula, is it for this purpose concerning the shirayim of a mincha sorim? Ha mi moya le'elich netanya, I need it for the following Minayin she'ein chokin minochis keneged zvachim. From where do we know that one is not allowed to exchange his portion of a mincha with another kohen in anticipation of receiving his animal, the other kohen's portion in an animal sacrifice at another point in time? Talmud lomar v'chol hamincha asher te'ofe batanur l'chol b'nei aron tiyeh. The pasuk that was just cited is actually made of fusing two psukim together. There's pasuk tes and pasuk yud. We've included the actual psukim on the inside margin. Before we go any further in the Gemara, maybe let us just read the psukim together to get a flavor of them, to a flavor of their sound, because the fractions or segments of these psukim will be cited as we go along on this in this brisa. So, turning to the inside margin, Vayikra Zayin Posuk Tes, it says, V'chol mincha shir te'ofe batanur, V'chol na'ase b'marcheshes, V'al machvas, la'koin ha'makriv o'iso, lo'y tiyeh. Posuk Yud, V'chol mincha blulu b'shemen, b'charevo, l'chol b'nei Aaron, tiyeh, ish ke'achiv. So far we have learned that Kohanim are not allowed to exchange their portion of a meal offering in anticipation of receiving a portion of an animal sacrifice. As we go further on in the source, we're going to notice this marking, a double underline with dots in it. It's one of our series markings. This is a repeating phrase as we go on here, Yochol lo yichalku, and under our Mivneh heading in the outside margin, we've noted this. The Mivneh is the structural note that accompanies our Gemara marking system, Shas Ozer. When new forms appear, we attempt to offer a little explanation of what the design or geometric shape is going to do. So we've noted under the Mivneh heading, this is Yocholo Yechalku. These are Shlavim, stages, Ad Shemochichim, the Din Hanal, the above mentioned Din that we had written in our Tatnose, namely the prohibition of Kohanim exchanging portions with one another. These are stages until we prove that this Din, Koleo Kol Suge HaKorbonus, includes all types of sacrifices. Even though we opened up with meal offerings exchanged for animal offerings, the Brisa goes on, third line from the top, Yochol lo yichalku menechus keneged zvachim. Maybe those cannot be exchanged one for the other. Shelo komu tachteim bedalus. When a person cannot afford an animal offering, there are cases in the Torah where there's an allowance made for he who is of a lesser income level to bring a lesser, less expensive korban. So if one cannot afford an animal offering, there is something that is provided for in the Torah whereby he can bring a bird offering. That's the stage under an animal offering. If someone can't afford an animal offering, the next stage under that is not to bring a meal offering. And that's what is meant here, that the menachos maybe can't be exchanged for zochim, because menachos, meal offerings, aren't the immediate replacement of an animal offering in the case of a lesser income level. Avol, yechalku menachos keneged oifos. Maybe an allowance can be made for menachos being exchanged for bird offerings. If a person, let us say a kohen, doesn't want his portion of a mincha, and he finds another kohen that's willing to take this portion of mincha in exchange for the other kohen's eventual portion in a bird offering, maybe that would be a legitimate exchange. Sherei komu tachtehen bedalus. That means that when one can't afford a bird offering, so there is an entitlement for him to bring a meal offering. They're connected with one another in this issue of income levels. Once again, if someone can't afford a bird offering, so there's an entitlement made for him to bring a meal offering. So maybe they can be exchanged. Talmud lomar v'chol na'ase b'marcheshes l'chol b'nei aron tiyeh. And that's telling us that he cannot exchange meal offerings for bird offerings. Yahol lo yichalku menachos kenged ofos. Maybe that can't be exchanged. Halalu mine domim v'halelu mine kmochim. Birds are blood oriented. There's a sprinkling of blood from the bird, and the meal offerings are flour based. They're unlike, so they can't be exchanged. However, yichalku ofos kenged zvochim. Maybe exchanges can be made, bird offerings for animal offerings. Namely, one kohen wants to give up his portion in a bird offering in exchange for another kohen's portion in an animal offering. Shehalolu v'halolu minei damim. They have this in common, that they're both blood-oriented. Tamad lomar v'al machvas l'chol b'nei aron tiyeh. From this extra expression, we're learning that even that kind of exchange is not allowed. Yocholo yichalku oifois keneged zvochim shalolu asiyosin b'yad v'alolu asiyosin b'kli. Maybe that cannot be, one can be, not be exchanged for the other, because the bird is asiyosin b'yad, means the method of slaughter of birds is through the Kohen's thumbnail. He does it by hand, and animals are done by a knife. That's the kli, the vessel. Avol yichalku menochos kenege menochos. But maybe menochos can be exchanged for one another. She'elu ve'elu asiyosun biyad. They're both done by hand. Namely, when it comes to a mincha, the handful of flour is removed and put on the mizbeach. So all menochos have that in common. Tamad lomar, and now we have to take special note. We've dashed underlined this. V'chol mincha blula b'shemen l'chol b'nei aron tiyeh. This, the reason for this emphasis is that this is the very pasuk that was cited originally as the source for minchas sa'orim shirayim being eaten by the kohanim. Here we see the pasuk used up to tell me that there can not be exchanges of portions of minochas one with the other. This is really the heart of the question. But the Brisa is brought in its entirety, so we continue with the Brisa, bearing in mind that we have to come back to this point, this problem. Yocholo yichalku machvas keneged marcheshes, or marcheshes keneged machvas. Maybe that we can understand, that the machvas type meal offering cannot be exchanged for a marcheshes, and likewise the other way around. Shizu maaseh koshin v'zu maaseh rakin. The machvas is a harder type of dough, and the marcheshes is a looser type of dough. So, being that they have this different nature, therefore they can't be exchanged one with the other. Avol yichalku machvas keneged machvas, or marcheshes keneged marcheshes. Maybe we can allow a kohen to exchange his portion in a machvas. Let's say he's not interested in eating machvas in the morning, and he has a friend that's a kohen that is interested, so he says, you take my morning portion of machvas, and later on in the day, when I'll be hungry for a machvas, you'll give me your portion of machvas. Talmud lomar v'chareva l'chol b'nei aron tiyeh. That is instructing us that no exchange can be made even on that level of closeness. Yocholo yichalku b'kotshei kotshim. Maybe there is a restriction of this bartering when it comes to sacrifices of a high holy nature. Avol yichalku b'kotshim kalim. Maybe we can allow for exchanges or bartering when it comes to lower level sanctity sacrifices. Talmud lomar, this too is restricted. The pasuk says, ish ke'achiv v'im al toida. Here we have a citation from Pasuk Yud and from Pasuk Yud Beis. Kishem shein chokin b'kotshei kotshim, just like we don't have exchanges made in the realm of high, holy type sacrifices, kach ein chokin b'kotshim kalim. The Pasuk makes reference to an ish. We see this in Pasuk Yud. It says, Ish ke'achiv. Ish cholek. An ish receives a portion, the afilu balmum, even if the kohen happens to be blemished, the ein koton cholek v'afilu tam. A minor kohen does not receive a portion in the division of the sacrifices, even if he is unblemished. He's not part of the initial distribution in the Azara. That's what the term cholek means. We have a question mark here indicating that after having presented this lengthy source, we see that the pasuk of Echol Mincha B'lulu B'Shemen, which originally was the source for the Shirayim of Aminchas Sa'orim being eaten, according to Rabbi Shimon, it in fact is used up for something else. It's used up to teach me the issue of non-bartering of portions of Mincha for Mincha. So the Gemara explains, Hahu, the idea of Ein Chokin, of non-bartering, mi kol, nafka. It's learned from the word kol. The Gemara asks, but the ha afikte l'chir b'yosi Rabbi Yehuda. But the word kol is used up for another teaching. That's for Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda's teaching, that one will find a brief citation of what that is in the Rashi. On Perek Kol HaMenachos and Daf Samach Gimel Omid Beis, Rabbi Yosi mentioned that the Chalos and Rekikin are themselves two separate korbonas, and that if one makes a neder to bring a Minchas Maifa, he doesn't bring part Chalos and part Rekikin. This word kol then seems to have been used up already for Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda's teaching. The Gemara answers, Elohahu mi v'chol. We have the vav of the word v'chol is available for that teaching, and the im'eno inyan issue, which was the source for the minchas sa'orim shirayim being eaten, that's learned from mincha. So in this pasuk we have v'chol mincha blula, we have a vav, we have the kol, and the kol was telling us the halacha of non-bartering. The vav is telling us the halacha of Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, and the word mincha is teaching me the halacha concerning the shirayim. This you can see in the Rashi mentions hahu mi v'chol nafka brisa mi kol. The brisa teaching, which was learned from kol, and as we indicated, the vav was available for Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, and the mincha is for the shirayim of the minchas sa'orim. When it comes to minchas sa'orim, let's remind ourselves, we have a blula and a chareva. The oimer was blula, and the chareva was the minchas knois. The Gemara goes on and points out, we have a diamond here, and we indicated in our introduction that this is a second source for the issue concerning the shirayim of the Minchas Sa'orim. Ravina Omar Asya Midetoni Levi. This point will be derived from Toni Levi, and we have an introduction in under our no say heading in the outside margin. Mokur Shel Toni Levi Shimlamedes Alvorim Shekehanim Mekablim Mi Mispar Korbonus. This source of Levi, which is also a relatively long source, serves as a basis of knowledge concerning that which Kohanim receive from a variety of different korbanos. B'chol echod, in each one of them, hoya havamina, shakoin lo yikabel chelek, that the Kohen should not receive a portion. V'lochein dorush posuk l'lameid shemekabel. Therefore, it's necessary to have a posuk that will teach me he does get, that he gets that which I otherwise would have thought he does not receive. In the course of this source, we have a number of markings, but we'll be focusing on the point where there is a horizontal dashed underline, at which point in the source, if you scan ahead and see it already, very good, it says there, the Rabbis Minchas Oimer Minchas Knois, which is the very topic that we were dealing with from beginning with Ayin Beis Amid Beis. Before reading the source, the Toni Levi source, which of course you can see is in a frame, there is a posuk that he will be working with, Bamidbar Perek Yudches Posuk Tes. Let's look at this posuk in the inside margin. We've included it, and it says, Ze ye l'cho mikudish ha-kadoshim min ho'esh kol korbonam l'chol min chosom l'chol chatosom l'chol ashomam asher yoshivu li kudish kadoshim l'chol hu l'vonecha. Turning to the Gemara, so Ravina says that the issue concerning the the Shirayim of the Minchas Seorim, that it is given to the Kohanim, is learned from the Toni Levi. Ravina Omar, Asya mi Toni Levi, the Toni Levi. Levi teaches, L'chol korbonon, u'l'chol minchasam, u'l'chol chatasam, u'l'chol ashamam. As we go on in the source, we'll be underlining the sections of Pasuk that are quoted, and we will also be lettering the each part of the Pasuk that will be including more things that a Kohen receives. So the first point, Kol Korbanon, L'rabbis Lug Shemen Shel Metzora. This tells us that the remainder of the Lug is a liquid quantity of oil, in this case, lug, shemen is oil. The remainder of the lug that's used in the mitzora purification process, that remainder is given to the kohanim. Salkodaita chamina, without the posuk, I would have thought, min ho'esh, chosav rachmona. The posuk itself said, ze yelcho mekoish goshe min ho'esh. That, the kohen receives that which is left over from something put into the fire, and the lug shemen is not put into the fire. So therefore, I might have thought that the lug shemen is not included. Komash molon. Therefore, the expression kol korbanon comes to include even things like the lug shemen, which are not fire-based. L'chol minchasam. What does this do? L'rabois, and here we have, we should note that we have a diagonal slashed or dashed line throughout this source. That is highlighting the sacrifices that are being included. However, in this case, in addition to this diagonal dashed line, we have a horizontal dashed line under it, and that's because this is the main reason that Toni Levi is brought in this sukya. L'chol minchasam teaches me the rabbis minchas oimru, minchas knois, that those type of barley offerings, the omer is a barley offering and the knois is a barley offering, that the shirayim go to the kohanim. Sakodai techamina, I would have thought, the ichu oisam asher kupar bohem, omar rachmona, that's a posuk in Shmois, that the kohanim eat from that which afforded atonement. These two korbanos, the omer and the kenos, neither one of these is of an atonement nature. V'hai lahatir klasio. Hai is a reference to the omer. It comes to matir, the chodosh, the new grains of that season. The idoch, the kenois, nami levarir koasio. It's part of the clarification process concerning the suspected woman. It's not an atonement sacrifice. It comes to clarify whether or not a sin has taken place. Therefore, these two are not kupar bohem. They don't function as atonement sacrifices. Therefore, I wouldn't know that a kohen receives them. Komash Malon, that's what I need this pasuk of the Chol Minchasam to include these as well, even though they're not kapora, they're not atonement based. The pasuk says the Chol Chatosam, the Rabbis Chatosoif, that a sin bird offering also, after the blood is sprinkled, is given to the Kohanim. Sakadei Dechamina Nevelahi. I might have thought without the pasuk that, after all, it's not slaughtered in a normal, with a normal slaughtering, which allows eating. It's slaughtered by the insertion of the thumbnail of the kohen. If that were done any place outside the Beis HaMikdash, it's basically killing the bird, causing it to be classified as a nevela. Nevela is something that died or didn't receive a proper shechita. That's, of course, forbidden in general. So I would have thought that the Chatas Of essentially is an Avela, and it's not to be eaten. Komash Malon, that's what the Pasuk of L'chol Chatosam includes. The Chatas Of also is given to the Kohen. L'chol Ashamam, we see a little bracketed section, so if we just skip this momentarily to get keep the flow going. L'chol Ashamam is L'rabois Osham Nozir Ki Osham Mitzora. It's coming to include the Hashem Nazir is treated as far as the Kohanim are concerned. He will get a portion of Hashem Nazir, just like he gets a portion from Hashem Mitzora, which has its own source. So you'll ask, what do I need to have a special source to include the Hashem Nazir? Sa'kadai dechamino lahachshir kasi. I would have thought that the role of the Hashem Nazir is not one of atonement. The Hashem Nazir is brought by a Nazir who had become Tomei. After he finishes his Tahara period, he then starts counting his Nazirus again. It's a recounting or restart. This idea of restart is called Lahachshir. It enables him to start his counting anew. So since the Hashem Nazir's role is for Lahachshir, I might have thought that it's not something that a Kohen receives. Komash Malon, therefore I need the Pasuk of Lechol Ashamam to include the Hashem Nazir as well as given to the Kohanim after it's offered. We have a bracketed section that we must go over. What happens here is that in the brackets we have what the Brisa, the original Lashon of the Brisa, but it's inaccurate and the Gemara has to fix it. So we read the final version. Let's now read it again with the brackets. So at stage Dalet, the Pasuk says, L'chol Ashamam, L'rabois Asham Nazir V'Asham Mitzora, that the Kohen receives a portion. He receives the Asham Nazir and the Asham Mitzora as his portion. So on this, the Gemara asks, Asham Mitzora Behedya Ksiv Bey. It has an explicit separate source that says, Ki Kachatas Asham Hu La Kohen. That is a pasuk in the context of the Asham Mitzora, of the Mitzora who has to bring an Asham sacrifice. And there it says that the Kohen receives it. So I don't need L'chol Ashamam to include the Asham Mitzora as well. Elo, L'rabois Asham Nazir, Ki Asham Mitzora. The role of L'chol Ashamam in our Pasuk of Bamidbar Yudches is to include the Asham Nazir to be like the Asham Mitzora that has its own source, and that the Asham Nazir goes to the Kohen as well. I would have thought that the role of the Hashem Nazir is a machshir and not a mechaper. Komash malon, therefore I need l'chol Hashemam to include it as well as going to the Kayin. Asher yoshivu ze gezel hager. Gezel hager is a situation where someone had stolen from a convert. Convert being a person who has no relatives. After a person converts to Judaism, and assuming that he has no children after his conversion, he is considered a person without relatives. And one who had stolen from him and originally denied under oath that he stole from him, in the meantime the ger dies, and now the thief confesses that he swore falsely and wants to repay that which he stole. So the Gezel Hager is given to the Kohanim. And that's in addition to other things that the thief has to do by way of sacrifices. So the Gezel Hager payment is given to the Kohanim. And that's learned from Asher Yoshivu. The next site is a pasuk citing citation from our psukim, but it's not coming to include another type of korban or gift to the kohanim. Therefore, we don't have any lettering over this quote, nor do we have a diagonal dashed line either. So the pasuk says, "L'cha hi ulavonecha, shelcha hi ulavonecha." Everything that was enumerated above is to be yours and your children's. Afilu l'kadesh bo'yis ha'isha becomes your personal property. That after you, the Kohen, receive any of these above mentioned things, it becomes their own, and they can actually use it to marry with it a woman. When a person gets married, he has to offer to a woman something of value, something that he personally owns that is of value. So we see from this that is a possibility. At this point in the Gemara, we see a slash mark. So if we just review what we have done in a broad sense, we in effect brought two sources, and these were indicated with diamonds in our markings, two sources from which one could learn that the Minchas Seorim is, its Shirayim is given to the Kohanim. Of course, in the course of this Almud Gemara, we learned a lot more information, but structurally, that was the main thrust of this Almud. We now start a new discussion, and we have a Nosei topic heading in the outside margin, Dino Shel Rav Huna. We're going to learn Rav Huna's law, Shalmei Oivdei Kechovim Oilois Nidu. If a Gentile vows to bring a Shlomim sacrifice, it automatically becomes an Ola. The major difference between a Shlomim and an Ola is that an Ola is something that's completely burnt on the Mizbeach. A Shlomim is mostly eaten by the owner. So here, Rav Huna tells us that if a Gentile vows to bring a Korban Shlomim, it becomes an Ola. Omer Rav Huna, Shalmei Ha'oiv Dekechovim Oilois. If you like, I can give you a verse, a pasuk, that will teach this. And if you like, I can give you a logical explanation. In this case, the Gemara starts, after giving us these two options, it starts with the second. It says, Ibo Yisema Svara. The logical explanation is, Oyve Kichovim Libo Lashomayim. When a Gentile vows something to the Holy Temple, to the Beis HaMikdash, his intention is completely heavenward. In other words, his intention is to, his whole mindset is to give something, so to speak, to the Almighty. And that precludes any eating. And therefore, even if he said that he's giving a Korban Shlomim, his intention is for something that's completely heavenly. The Eboyes Emakra, another approach is from the Pasuk, you see, Asher Yakrivu Lashem Le'oila. That's a Pasuk in Vayikra Chof Beis, Pasuk Yudches, which we learn, which Rav Huna teaches, is Kol Demikrivi, anything that they offer. Whatever they offer, whatever the Gentile offers, Oilo Lehevei, it will take on the din of an Ola and not the din of a Shlomim. We have a Posuk citation on the inside margin, Vayikruchov Beis Posuk Yudches. Let's read the Posuk. We will make additional references down the Omid to this Posuk, so it's a good idea to get a flavor of it. So the Posuk says, and you can see it on the inside margin, Daber el Aharon vel Bonov vel Kol Bnei Yisrael v'yomarta aleihem, Ish ish mi Beis Yisrael u'min hager bi Yisrael asher yakriv korbonoi l'chol nidreim u'l'chol nidvoisam asher yakrivu l'ashem l'oila. As we go on in the Gemara, we now encounter a geometric form, a triangle in this case. We have a topic heading and structural note in the outside margin that we'll take advantage of. We've indicated that this is a Nosei Hemshech. Hemshech means we're continuing in under the topic of Rav Huna's Din. The triangle represents Kushos al Rav Huna. We will have questions on Rav Huna, Mimukuros, from sources, Shebohem Roim, from which we see the Goy, Shenodav, a Gentile who vows a sacrifice, Shenodav Shlomim, if he vows to bring a Korban Shlomim, Arehu Shlomim, Veloka Rav Huna Domar Shem Olos. We will see that it becomes a Shlomim and not an Ola like Rav Huna mentioned. So we turn to the Gemara, Mosiv Rav Chama Bar Gurya. He raises an objection. Oyveid kechavim shis nadev lahavi shlomim, a Gentile that vowed to bring a shlomim, nosnon liYisrael, Yisrael oichlan, if he gave it to a Yisrael, the Yisrael will eat it, nosnon lakoyin, if he gave it to a koyin, hakoyin oichlan, the koyin will eat it. But either way, what we see here is a Gentile bringing a shlomim, and it is consumed. To the contrary of what Rav Huna said. Omar Rava explains on behalf of Rav Huna, Hachi Ko Omar. Thusly, we are to understand. the Oved Kochovim spoken of was giving it al menas shiskaper bohen Yisrael. The Gentile wasn't donating the korban for himself. He knew someone, a Yisrael, that needed to bring a korban shlamim. So the Gentile wanted to bring it on behalf of his friend Yisrael, or, as we'll see shortly, or he wanted to bring it on behalf of his friend the Kohen. So in such a case, the owner becomes the one who will benefit from it. So if the Gentile is bringing it on behalf of the Israel is then viewed as the owner, and he will eat that korban. And thusly it says, Al-Menas shi'iskaper bohen Yisrael, Yisrael ochlon. Al-Menas shi'iskaper bohen Kohen, Kohen ochlon. Mosiv Rav Shizvi. Rav Shizvi raises an objection to Rav Huna from our Mishnah. Elu menachos nikmotzos ushiorem lekehanim. The Mishnah featured a list of different meal offerings, and it said these are menachos that are nikmats. A handful is removed, put on the altar of ushiorem, and the balance is to be eaten by the kohanim. And included in the list was minchas oivdei kechovim. And just like the minchas oivdei kechovim will be eaten by the kohanim, we are understanding that the shlomim will be treated the same way. And that's against Rav Huna. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, lo kashya. Ha Rabbi Yossi Aglili, ha Rabbi Akiva. There are two Tanaic schools of thought on this matter. One is represented by Rav Huna, who was an Amora, but his opinion will be reflected in Shitas Rabbi Kiva that we will see later, and the opinion of these sources, which would have indicated that the shlomim of a Gentile is treated as a shlomim and doesn't turn into an ola, that is an opinion reflected by Rabbi Yossi Haglili. And as we go on in the Gemara, we see a Tanaic source of some length, Desanya, and in the course of this source, we've also circled the names Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and next to him, after him, is Rabbi Akiva. Once again, we're going to be citing quotes from the Pasuk, Vayikra Perikov Beis Pasuk Yudches, and we have underlined, as we go on in the source, the section of Pasuk that's being cited. The quote from the pasuk opens here with ish ma talmor ish ish. Why does the pasuk in pasuk yudches use a double expression ish ish? Answer: the rabbis is oivdik chavim shenoidrim nedorim unedovos ki Israel. This to include not just Jews but Gentiles as well can bring sacrifices as Nidorim and Nidofas, two different types of vows. Nidorim are vows that one accepts upon himself responsibility, a guarantee, and Nidofas are focused on the item itself without any additional guarantee if something goes wrong. Asher yakrivu l'ashem l'oila, ein li ela oila. If I had only this quote, I would think that the only kind of korban they can bring is an ola. Shlomim minayin, Talmud lomar nidrehem. Notice with our markings, we've dashed underlined ho'ivdei kechovim two lines up, and we've dashed underlined shlomim. What we're showing is that we have a source so far that indicates goyim bring shlomim. Toda minayin. How do we know that a Gentile can vow to bring a korban toda? Talmud lomar nidvoisam. From where do we know that the Gentile can bring bird offerings, a wine offering, a lavona as a type of spice offering, and a wood offering? Talmud lomar nidreim l'chol nidreim. The pasuk doesn't say just nidreim; it uses the word kol nidreim, which is an inclusive expression. And nidvosam l'chol nidvosam. Once again, the word kol comes to include. Imkein ma talmud lomar oila. So then why does the pasuk feature the ola, which would sound like that's the only thing they can bring? So the Gemara answers, the ola, which is a limitation expression in this case, does the following. Ola prat l'nazirus. Divrei Rabbi Yossi Haglili. If we glance at the Rashi, prat l'nazirus, Rashi is in the upper part of the narrow lines. Klomar, Oilostam Yechoilin Lindor, a Gentile can vow to bring a common or standard Ola. However, Velo Oilas Nazirus, but not the Ola that a Nazir brings. Shim Nodar Benazir, if the Gentile had accepted upon himself a Nazirite status, Ein Nazirus Chal Olav, he, the Gentile, does not become a Nazir. Lefi Shiesh Bo Oilo Chatos Ushlamim, the Nazir, when he completes his Nazirus period, he brings three sacrifices, Ola, Chatas, and Shlamim. And the word Ola here is coming to exclude the Nazirus story. Rabbi Akiva, continuing in the source, Omer, Asher Yakrivu Lashem Le'ola, Ein Li Ela Oilo Bilvad. Rabbi Akiva learns, like Rav Huna said, that a Gentile, when he vows to bring a sacrifice, the only thing that he brings is an Ola. And Rav Huna went a little further and said that even if he dedicates to bring a Shlamim, it will be treated as an Ola. So Rav Huna's din is based on the teaching of Rabbi Akiva. We have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara. Something was mentioned just before the end of this source, that the Rabbi Yossi Aglili used the word Ola to show how the Gentile is excluded from the Nazirus. So the Gemara asks, but we have another source for that point. V'hai prat l'Nazirus mehocha nafka mehasa nafka. The question lasts a few lines, as the long question marking indicates. You can see that on the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, the kuf that's encircled with a vertical dashed line. All of the lines of the Gemara that are opposite this vertical descending dashed line form the question. So the question is, the exclusion of a Gentile from the Nazirus is learned from a different source. It says, Daber el b'nei Yisrael, v'yamarta lehem, ish ki afli lindor neder nozir lahazir. This pasuk is in the parsha of the Torah dealing with Nazirus, and it says B'nei Yisrael, and we learn from this B'nei Yisrael Nodrim V'ein Hoivdik L'Chovan Nodrim, that only Jews accept upon themselves the Nazir vow, and not Gentiles. The Gemara answers, we seem to have two sources, right? Well, E Mehasam, had I just had Asher Yakrivu Lashem Le'ola, had I had just the former citation, that a Gentile is excluded only from the sacrifice, but the actual Nazirus status he can absorb or become subject to. Komash Malon, the Ki Yafli Pasuk tells us that he doesn't gain even the status of a Nazir. A Nazir is a person who generally is a person who is restricted from wine and contact with defilement with regard to the dead. So the need or the role of Kiafli is to tell me that he doesn't become even a Nazir with regard to observance, regardless of the sacrifice consideration. Keman Azla Ha Disnan. We have an unnamed Tanaic source. The Gemara is interested in knowing, like whom would it be? We've so far seen two Tanoim, Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Kiva, with regard to Gentile sacrifice vows. The source here says, Omar Rabbi Shimon. Well, we have to be a little more accurate. We said there's no name. There, in fact, is a name, but we want to know, according to whom does Rabbi Shimon teach his law? Omar Rabbi Shimon, Shiva Dvarim Hiskinu Beis Din, Vize Echod Mehen. There are seven rulings that Beis Din issued, and the following is one of them. Ovid Kechovim, Sheshalach Oilosom Imidnes Hayam. A Gentile who sent a Korban Ola from abroad, Vishilach Imon Nisocheha, and sent along with it the accompanying wine offering, Kraven Mishalo. So, that is used, in other words, his wine is used. The im lav, if he didn't send the accompanying wine, Kraven Michel Tzibor. So he did send his sacrifice. He sent the animal, but did not send wine. So the Beis Din ruling states that in the absence of his having sent his own wine, the public funds will be used to purchase the nesachim, the accompanying wine offering. So, Lema Rabbi Yossi Haglili velo Rabbi Kiva, should we say that this conforms to Rabbi Yossi Haglili, whom we saw above was Marbe Yayin, as one of the things that the Yayin, or which is called Nisachim, Rabbi Yossi Haglili was Marbe that as one of the things that a Gentile vows to bring. And in contrast with Rabbi Kiva, who said that the only thing that a Gentile brings is an Ola offering. So this source that indicates that the Gentile will send his wine and it will be used sounds like it would be something Rabbi Yossi Haglili would teach and not Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara answers, Afilu Temo Rabbi Akiva. This can conform with Rabbi Kiva as well. You'll ask, but Rabbi Kiva had restricted the Gentile to Ola offerings only. So we explain, Ola v'chol abizra, the Ola and all that accompanies the Ola. So then when Rabbi Kiva said the Gentile sacrifices are restricted to an Ola, it doesn't mean just the animal itself, but the Ola and that which accompanies the Ola as well, the Nesachim. Therefore, the idea here of a Gentile sending wine along with his Ola conforms to Rabbi Kiva as well, because we're still within the realm of the Ola. The Gemara asks another question of a similar nature of who is the author. Man Tana Laha de Tana Rabbanan. Here we have a truly unnamed Tanaic source, and we want to know who would teach the following. The question itself lasts a number of lines. This is indicated by the long question marking that you can see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. Man Tana Laha de Tana Rabbanan. The source opens up with a pasuk that's from Parshas Nesachim. Parshas Nesachim in Bamidbar Perek Tesvav. Here we're quoting from pasuk Yud Gimel. The pasuk we have included on the inside margin. It says, Kol ha'ezroch yaseh kocha es eile v'hakriv yisheh reach nichoach l'ashem. The parsha of Nesachim is the parsha dealing with that which accompanies animal offerings, specifically wine that is brought together with numerous animal offerings. The source says Ezroch. Ezroch mevi Nesachim v'eino oivik kechavim mevi Nesachim. The Ezroch brings Nesachim, Ezroch being the Jew, and not the Gentile. A Gentile does not bring Nesachim without a sacrifice. In other words, he would not bring an independent wine offering. Yochol lo tehe oiloso tuna Nesachim. Well, should we say that his Korban Ola, if a Gentile vows to bring an Ola, that the animal would not require Nesachim? Talmud Lomar Kocha. The word Kocha indicates something that is binding, that's Ma'akev, namely that the Nesachim that accompany his Korban Ola are necessary. Well, we have this source. On the one hand, it teaches me that the Gentile does not vow a separate and independent wine offering. On the other hand, his Ola offering does require Nesachim. So money, who would be the author of this source? Lo Rabbi Yosef Lili v'lo Rabbi Kiva doesn't seem to conform with either one of them. And the Gemara explains why. E Rabbi Yosef Lili homar filu yayin nami. We saw above Rabbi Yosef Lili enabled a Gentile to vow wine on its own. We have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. If you scan up the page, you'll notice it points to a line where the hayayin has a dot underlined, and that's under Rabbi Yossi Haglili's teaching, where it said that a goy, a Gentile, does bring can bring or vow a wine offering on its own. So this brief source that we just learned doesn't conform to Rabbi Yossi Haglili. And E Rabbi Akiva ha'amar oilo in midi achrin olo. As far as Rabbi Akiva is concerned, he said that a goy brings only an ola and nothing else. And this source teaches me that in addition to the ola, the accompanying wine offering is brought. The Gemara answers, in fact, the two names that we just rejected as authors, in fact, either one of them could be the author. If you like, we can say it's Rabbi Yossi Haglili. And the way we get to that conclusion is by saying, Sami Mehahi Yayin. Sami, delete from the earlier source where we had used arrows previously. So we're referring to the source, the upper half of the page, where the word Vayayin was dot underlined. Just delete that expression from the source, which would then leave us saying that a Gentile can vow all kinds of offerings, but not an independent wine offering. And if and that's according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, and hence this unnamed source would conform to that. We can say that this brief unnamed source conforms to Rabbi Akiva. Ola v'chol abizra, when Rabbi Akiva said that a Gentile brings only an ola, it means only an ola, but not to the exclusion of the accompanying wine that comes with the ola. Rather, he brings only an ola, but the ola with its accompanying elements, the wine. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Minchas Chote Shokehanim. Rabbi Shimon had taught in the Mishnah, Nikmetzes, a handful is removed. The Kemitz Krev L'Atzmon, Shreim Krev L'Atzmon. According to Rabbi Shimon, when a Kohen brings a meal sin offering, his personal meal sin offering, it is the Kohen's Minchas Chote has a handful removed from it, and the handful is placed in the fire, and the balance is placed in the fire. This, by the way, is in contrast with the way we would deal with the Minchas Nedava, a voluntary Kohen meal offering. That is something that's placed completely in the fire. There is no kemitza taken from that. That's a voluntary meal offering offered by a Kohen. The Gemara here will deal with the source for Reb Shimon's teaching. And we've indicated this in our No Say topic heading in the outside margin. Mokor Ludiv Reb Shimon, a source for Reb Shimon, the Minchas Choyti, Shokei Nikmetzes, Kremitz Krev Be'atzmo, Akshriyan Kreven Be'atzmo. We might take note of the fact that the source that we're about to learn is a rather long source. It continues to the upper part of Ayin Dalet Omet Aleph. So we will start the source now. Mino Hani Mili, the Tana Rabbanan. What's the source for this teaching, the teaching of Reb Shimon, concerning the Minchas Chote of Kohanim? The Pasuk says, in Vayikra Perek Hei Pasuk Yud Gimel, the Pasuk is found in the context of a Minchas Chote, which is our subject. Vayisa La Kohen Kamincha, Shetei Avoidosa Kshera Bo. This teaches me that the Kohen, when he brings his own Korban Mincha, he can process his own Korban. In other words, even if he is not serving that particular week, but he happens to have an obligation to bring a Korban Mincha, he can process it himself. Ata oimashte avoidosu kshira boyo eno elo lahatir minchas chote shokehanim. You say that it means that this pasuk teaches me it comes to teach me the Kohen can process it. Maybe it means that the Minchas Chote of Kohanim can be eaten like the Minchas Yisrael, like a Yisrael's Korban Mincha. Uma ani mekayim v'chol Minchas Kohen kolil tia lo se'achel. And then, well, what will I do with that pasuk, which says that the Minchas Kohen, a meal offering of the Kohen, is completely burnt and not eaten? I'll tell you, Minchas Nidvoso. That's referring to a voluntary meal offering. Avochovoso te'necheles. But an obligatory meal offering that a Kohen brings shall be eaten. So we answer, Talmud loimar v'hoiso la Kohen kamincha. Makish choyvoso linidvosoi. The Torah wants us to compare his obligatory mincha to his voluntary mincha. Ma nidvoso eino necheles, just like the voluntary mincha korban kohen brings is not eaten. That we learned from the pasuk in Vayikra Vav pasuk Tezayin. Af choyvoso eino necheles. By virtue of this comparison, the obligatory kohen meal offering, like the minchas chote, is not eaten. We should also point out, like Rashi says here, that once we've established that it's not eaten, we can't we can't say anything about the Minchas Chotei of the Kohen as being mutter, other than the fact that he can service it or process it, like we opened up. Omar Rabbi Shimon, V'chinemar v'hoiso v'kohen k'minchosoi. Does the Pasuk say that the Minchas Chotei shall be like his mincha? V'alolo nemar ela k'mincha. A more general expression, k'mincha, it shall be treated like a mincha, not like his mincha. If we were limited to k'minchoso, so then that which the Tanakhama said would be effective. Namely, just like his voluntary mincha offering is not eaten, so too his obligatory one is not eaten. But Rabbi Shimon says it doesn't say mincha so on the personal, on the private level or personal level, on the restricting it to a kohen. It uses a general expression that it's the kohen's mincha is like a mincha. Ela lahakish minchas chotei shel kehanim keminchas chotei shel Yisrael. The minchas chotei of the kohen is to be compared to the minchas chotei of Yisrael. Once again, as we said before, it doesn't say minchoso like another mincha of a kohen, but rather kamincha in general, so that Reb Shimon will learn his halacha from here. Ma minchas chotei shel Yisrael nikmetzes. Af minchas chotei shel kehanim nikmetzes. Notice we've dashed, underlined this, because this is the reason we brought in the source. It's from here that Rabbi Shimon learns that the minchas chotei of a kohen has a handful removed from it. Ima minchas chotei Yisrael nikmetzes shel necholin. If you're going to make this comparison, are we to say that just like the minchas chotei of a Yisrael has a handful removed and shiore necholin and the balance is eaten, af minchas chotei shel kohanim nikmetzes shel necholin, so too the minchas chotei of a kohen has a handful removed and its balance is to be eaten? Talmud Lomar, well, to that we respond, la kohen kamincha. La kohen kamincha v'lo li'ishim kamincha. Ishim is a reference to the fire. Rashi, the third line from the top, says, la kohen kamincha klomar kol shiyesh la kohen la sos bo yehe kamincha schotin shiyosho dikmetzes. Namely, anything that the kohen has to do with it, namely the taking off of a handful, just like a minchas chotei of Yisrael, the kohen removes the handful, so too by the minchas chotei of a kohen, a handful will be removed. The Rashi goes on, this says, v'lo li'ishim kamincha, however, the inyan mizbeach, regarding that which the mizbeach receives, ein shavin minchas chotei shukayim minchas chotei Yisrael. They are not parallel. In what sense? The shorei minchas chotei Yisrael necholin, the balance of a minchas chotei of Israel is eaten, the balance of the minchas chotei of a kohen is put on the fire. So turning back to the source, we read again, la kohen kamincha, v'lo le'ishim kamincha. With regard to the kohen's involvement in the processing of it, so the minchas kohen of minchas chotei of a kohen is compared to the minchas chotei of Yisrael. They both have a handful removed. However, as to what the fire receives, there is a difference. Ha ketzad, the difference being that the minchas chotei of a kohen shirayim also goes into the fire, unlike the shirayim of the minchas chotei of Israel. Ha ketzat, so what is the result? Kaimitz korav bi'atzmo v'shirayim kraven ba'atzmon. The handful of the minchas chotei of a kohen is offered as a handful by itself, and the balance of the remainder of the minchas chotei of the kohen is offered into the fire by itself. We've dashed, underlined this as well, because this is the lashon that we saw in the Mishnah with regard to Rabbi Shimon, and we brought this entire source in to answer the question, from where does Rabbi Shimon learn his halacha? And the answer is, he learns it from this pasuk, la kohen kamincha. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.